The text today, Lord gave me a melody that puts it to music, and so this is how it goes. A new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put in you. I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways and cause you to keep my statutes and my judgments as you will obey. Then we pray back to God. Lord, give me a new heart, a new spirit put in me, and take away my heart of stone, and give me the heart of flesh, and put your spirit within me, and cause me to walk in your ways, and cause me to keep your statutes, and your judgments I will obey. Last spring I was concerned about my heart. I was beating at 30 beats a minute. That's pretty slow, and it can't survive for it to beat that slow for very long. Fortunately, it didn't last very long, and it picked it up to 50 and up to 60, but I was thinking I was going to need to have a pacemaker. So I went to my cardiac doctor, Dr. Wong. And how many of you know Dr. Wong? Yes? And he said, you know, before we put in a pacemaker, I want to try something. I'm going to put you on some medicine that hopefully will regularize the rhythm of your heart. And but before we do that, we want to have you put you through, is it an MRI, where they roll you into this big machine, looks like a giant magnet, and just make sure there weren't any blockages going on in my body. And the good news is that there's no blockages. And so the only other explanation is that I've got an electrical problem. And so he prescribed what I call a Metropolitan LOL. Metoprolol. And how many of you are on that medicine? Okay. So I take that every night, and my heart hasn't skipped a beat since. It was skipping a lot of beats, and now it's regularly going on 60 a minute. So praise God for that. And you know, I was listening these days to the crickets at night.
Yeah.
Have you been listening to the crickets?
Yeah.
Have you noticed what the rhythm of those crickets are? Yeah. Roger, have you checked it out?
No, I haven't.
I timed them. It's at 120 a minute.
Oh.
They're all rhythm. It's just like they're marching. They're marching. And so they, while my heart is beating once, they're beating twice.
So it's in time with their heart?
It's in time with my heart. So the crickets are helping my heart to beat regularly. So, the heart. It's the most wonderful thing that we have. It keeps our heart beating. And so we have the greatest miracle I want to talk to you about today. We've already read the verse and sung the song, so we're going to move right on. What is the miracle of miracles? And I'm reading out of Acts of the Apostles, the book of action, right? And we read, through the power of Christ. Can you read this?
Yes.
Through the power of Christ, men and women have broken the chains of sinful habit. They have renounced selfishness. The profane have become reverent. The drunken sober, the profligate pure. Souls that have borne the likeness of Satan have become transformed into the image of God. This change is in itself the miracle of miracles, a change wrought by the Word. It is one of the deepest mysteries of the Word. You know, I found that when I take time with God every morning, it has an impact not only on my physical heart, but on my spiritual heart. And as it is in the physical body, so it is in the spiritual. Now, a physical heart, to examine it, we need, before heart surgery, we have to be a pre-op, right? To find the cause of heart failure, to find blockage, and that's what they did for me, as some of you have gone through the same experience. And as I've been thinking about this physical MRI, there's also a spiritual scanner that God has already in place. And so in the spiritual heart, there's a pre-op also. For the cause of spiritual heart failure, exams are needed. And God has the CT scanner through the Holy Spirit. And we can get ourselves involved in this scan through the following prayer in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Look it up in your Bibles. If it's a little bit small print, you can read it with me in your Bible. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I think there's a song that goes that way too, right? And try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so what we are doing there, we're sitting in the exam room with God, and we're letting Him examine us, to search us, to see if there are any spiritual blockages, see if there are any sinful cholesterol or that's blocking our arteries. And so the physical blockages that are caused by LDL cholesterol, spiritual blockages are caused by spiritual sin. Sin is the cholesterol, is the thing that blocks our arteries. And so we see a picture of a heart here, and you notice that, what do you see? Where do you see Jesus in this picture? Outside the heart. Where do you see yourself in this picture? In the middle. What are we doing there? We're sitting on a throne, right? We're trying to rule our lives. And there is these black spots, these cancers that are showing up, our sins in the life. So is your heart of flesh or of stone? Is what we need to ask ourselves today. And what turns hearts to stone? Would you like to know that? In Zechariah 7:11-12, we read, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Have you ever had anybody turn their back on you and plugging their ears? Have you ever had that happen to you? Sometimes kids do that. There was actually a member of our church, the village church, who did that. And he had problems, still has problems. And so, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. So in Matthew 13, 14 and 15, we read these words. Look it up in your Bible if you can't read it. I'm sorry, the font is a bit too small. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, or fat, or heavy, or calloused, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with the heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And so this is the condition that we need to be aware of. You may think of some time in your past history where you closed your heart, closed your ears, and I didn't want to see what you really, God was trying to show you. In Deuteronomy 15:7, we see another symptom. If there be any among you poor, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from the poor brother. Have you ever passed a poor person at an intersection recently and not offered him anything? And of course, we justify ourselves saying, well, they're on drugs, we don't want to support their drug habit. But that's, we don't know that. And so, I think it would be good to be more generous with these people. You know what? I've found that these glow tracks, you know what a glow track is? How many of you know what a glow track is? Okay, do you keep a supply of them in your car or in your shirt pocket? And so what I did with the gas agent at the dinosaur station, I stick a dollar bill in there. And when they see that dollar bill, they say, oh, thank you. And I tell them, you're hired. You can read. I'm hiring you to read this book. And they seem to be appreciated. I'm hoping that maybe they'll be motivated to read. But that's an idea that you could do. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice, verse 8, Hebrews 3:8, do not do what? Do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. What else turns our hearts to stone? In Romans 2:4-5, we read this. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent or unrepentant, defiant, or not really sorry heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts us, convinces us that something we have done or said it was wrong and it's a sin, we must not harden our hearts, but we must confess those sins. Well, we think of the most hardened heart in the Bible. And all I can think of is the most hardened heart would be Pharaoh. You know, how many times he hardened his heart. It was softened at first, but then he hardened it. No, I will not let them go. And so that was Pharaoh's problem. But this did not discourage Moses. He faced Pharaoh, and he said, please, let my people go. So what is the condition of a hardened heart? How do you know if it's hardened? In 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are how discerned? They are spiritually discerned. And so this is a picture of a hardened heart. And so self is insisting on managing himself. I'd like to manage myself, don't you? But when we surrender the throne to the Lord Jesus, it makes an entirely difference in your life. It has done so in my life. And does Jesus love the hardened heart? Does He love him? Yes? Does He love people with hardened hearts? Yes, he does. And so he is knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. And so if Jesus knocks on the door, we are to invite him in. And he says, if you open the door, I will come in. That's a promise. And so where does he want to go? Up in the attic somewhere? No. He wants to be on the throne of your life. And when he's there, where should we go? We should go to his feet. We need to sit at his feet and surrender ourselves to him. And Jesus, you know, he doesn't wait till our heart is cleansed. He says, let me come in and I will clean you up. And that's the good news. In Galatians 5, 19 to 21 are some of the symptoms of a hardened heart. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Those are serious problems. In Romans 8, verse 5 to 8, we read, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, and we can insert in there, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, notice this, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So they're incapable of pleasing God. And so there needs to be a miracle. A miracle must take place. The hardened-hearted carnal person needs to become a spiritual person. And that happens when he invites Jesus into his life. And Jesus says, I want to come in and I want to cleanse you. I want to clean you up. I shed my blood for you, and it is my blood that's going to wash you and cleanse you. Remember what the Bible says in 1 John 1:7. Can you read it with me? And the blood of Jesus Christ will do what? Will cleanse you from all sin. We read in the Signs of the Times, December 28, 1896, quite a while ago, the soul must be emptied of what? What's that word? Self. That Christ may pour his Spirit into the vacuum. Christ must be chosen as the heavenly guest. The will must be placed on the side of God's will. Then there is a new heart and new holy resolve. It is Jesus enthroned in the soul that makes every action easy in his service. And so if you want to have that new heart, it needs to be renewed every day, by the way. And we need to begin each day inviting Jesus to take his place on the throne of our heart. And I've gotten in the habit of praying, Lord, I want to give me your thoughts to think. Give me your words to say. Give me your work to do, your deeds to do. And you know, when we are surrendered and are ready to serve God in this way, it just makes an entire difference in the life. Well, in Ephesians 5, verse 18, when we confess our sins and he washes us with his blood, then he wants to fill us. He doesn't just leave us empty with a vacuum. Ephesians 5, 18, B is a commandment, actually. It says, be filled with the Spirit. And so God wants to just pour his Spirit and fill us up with the fullness of God. We studied about that in the Sabbath school lesson, didn't we? And that's the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so Jesus taught us how to receive the Holy Spirit in Luke 11, 13. Can you read it with me? I think you might be able to read this. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so what is He waiting for us to do? Ask. That's right. Invite Him in. And John 14:16-17, Jesus said that He would be praying for us. He says, and I will pray the Father. When Jesus prays for you and me, the Father will listen. Isn't that right? I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. How many of you need help? Huh? Don't we all need help? We need a helper. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And of course, Jesus was looking forward to the day when He sends His Pentecostal Spirit on His church and to fill their hearts. Now, I'm glad we live on this side of Pentecost and not on the other side. This side of the cross and not the other side, right? We have a great advantage. John 16:7-8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send what? I will send Him to you. You know, it seems like there's a misunderstanding that's growing in our church that the Holy Spirit does not have a personal difference from Jesus Christ. But here it is very clear. He says, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He doesn't say I, He says He will convict you, convict the world of three things. What are they? Of sin. What is sin? Huh? The transgression of the law, disobeying God. Of righteousness, what is that? Just doing what they're doing, the right thing, right? Our sister did the right thing today. She came to church. And then of judgment, the judgment day, a day of accountability is coming. And I pray this prayer for my children and for my grandchildren. And already for my great-granddaughters, two of them still in the oven. So, this is the condition that Jesus wants us to be in. And He wants to now fill us and start growing in us the fruit of His Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? It's love, isn't it? And then we have joy, peace, patience. And do you remember the next one? Kindness, goodness. What's that one? It's kind of hard to read, isn't it? Faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We need that. It's interesting how Jesus says, I want to come in and control your life, but then He gives us self-control. How do you resolve that? Huh? I thought He was on the throne. Well, you know what I believe Jesus does? He picks us up, puts us on His lap. And we're reigning together. That's biblical. We're reigning together with Christ, which we will do for many years. And, of course, Bible study will become interesting. It will be like bread. We are hungering for the Word. You're not in the Word. You're just walking around starving yourself to death. Maybe you're already a walking corpse. I hope not. But we need to eat. And the Word of God is the bread of life. And of course, obedience will come as something that is natural for us to do. We'll go back to that a little later. And of course, Jesus wants to speak to us through His Word. And we will, when God speaks to us, what's the natural thing for us to do? Huh? Respond. What do we call that? It's communication. It's a dialogue that happens. And so that is the miracle that he wants to perform in each one of us. So what miracle happens when I get a new heart? It's something like, what do I get if I get a new car, or get a new iPhone, or a new technology, a new computer? Well, this is better than any of those. A new heart. Is it not a miracle that we can break from the bondage of Satan? Amen? Enmity against Satan is not natural to the human heart. It is implanted by the grace of God. When one who has been controlled by a stubborn, wayward will is set free and yields himself wholeheartedly to the drawing of God's heavenly agencies, a miracle is wrought. Every time a soul is converted and learns to love God and keep his commandments, the promise of God is fulfilled. A new heart also I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you. The change in human hearts, the transformation of human characters, is a miracle that reveals an ever-living Savior working to rescue souls. A consistent life in Christ is a great miracle. The sign that should be manifest in the preaching of the Word of God, the sign that should be manifest now and always, is the presence of the Holy Spirit to make the Word a regenerating power to those that hear. This is God's witness before the world to the divine mission of His Son. That's the miracle that God wants to perform in each one of our hearts today. So how can I get a new heart? Would you like to have one? Acknowledge you have a sin problem. Well, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. As your conscience has been quickened by what? The Holy Spirit. You have seen something of the evil of sin, of its power, its guilt, its woe, and you look upon it with abhorrence. You feel that sin has separated you from God, that you are in bondage to the power of evil. The more you struggle to escape, the more you realize your helplessness and your motives are impure, your heart is unclean. And so we need to go for a pre-op, for a heart transplant. Believe in Jesus Christ, who died of a broken heart, that's made it possible for him to give you a new heart. Did you know that when the spears pierced the side of Christ, what came out? Water and blood. What was that a sign of, physical sign of what would happen? It was a rupture of the heart. It was a cardiac arrest. And that's what happens when the ventricle bursts and the abdomen is filled with water and blood. Well, this is also a spiritual symbol of what Jesus did for us. In Psalms 32, verse 5, is what David said, is what we also should say and pray. I acknowledge my sin to you. Another word for knowledge is what? To acknowledge means to what? Huh? To admit. Any other word? To confess. To confess. To say, I blew it, Lord. What's the modern way of saying that you made a mistake? Huh?
My bad.
My bad. Yeah, I think I've done that too. Said that. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my heart. And so we need to pray for it. Psalm 51, 10, and 11. David, what kind of life did he have? What kind of sins did he commit? Bad sin! You cannot seem to get more wicked than what he did. When he murdered whose husband? Huh? Bathsheba? Husband? What was his name?
Uriah.
And that was not the only sin he committed. He messed up many times. But he still, God said, he's a man after my own heart. How could God say that about a guy who was so wicked? So what difference was it between David And Absalom, for example, or Judas, he humbled his heart, didn't he? And it takes humility to admit that we messed up. And he confessed his sin. And that's what God says, all I'm asking is that you admit you did wrong, and you come to me, and I will forgive you, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, that brings us to the wonderful promise. We should have it all memorized. Can you say it with me without looking? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's such an important promise, I thought I should put it to music. Would you like to hear it? Would you like to learn it? How do I put this thing on, anyway? It's a simple melody. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. If we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to sing it with me? Try it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. If we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Is it from some of our righteousness? What's the big word there? All. Do you believe he has forgiven you from all your sins? That's what he wants to do. But it seems like it's important that when we confess our sins, we should not just say, Lord, please forgive me all my sins. You know, that's pretty flippant. Way of confession. We need to look to the cross and see what our sins did to Jesus. And admit and spell it out exactly what you did to wound his heart. Well, the benefits of a new heart, Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit will prevent you. It's like a vaccine against COVID of sin. He says you need to just walk daily, walk with him. And Galatians 5:22, here's the result of a Spirit-filled life. We just saw that in the diagram. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so, we need to go through that list carefully and say, how much am I really loving? How joyful am I? Am I really today? And you know, these spiritual fruits are supernatural. They don't come naturally, because that kind of love is what kind of love? What do we call it? Huh? It's unconditional love. And what is the Greek word that goes with that? Agape love. So it's you love people that are not, that you wouldn't usually naturally love. Right? Can you think of somebody like that in your life? How about joy? Joy when you would not normally be joyful. For example, you hear that your loved one passed away. And can you say, praise the Lord? Or will you sit down and cry? Well, God understands that we are human. He understands that we are emotional people. But when you have a spiritual insight, you will have a deeper joy than you would normally have. Same way with peace. This is a deeper peace than you would normally have. Patience. You would be patient when normally you wouldn't be patient. You know, when you really look at these fruits, these are not just easy cherries to pick off the tree, you know? We need to have His supernatural character. That's really what this is about, isn't it? The character of God is His glory. And this is the character traits that God is looking to find in each one of us. Well, we need to bring this message to a close. I'm going to just share this few thoughts yet. Benefits of a new heart. New hearts love to obey God. Do you love to obey God? Yes? If it's hard to obey God, then you don't love Him. So fall in love with Him first, and then obedience will come. They do just what they were made to do. They do just what comes spiritually, naturally. Are you there yet? Huh? Is doing what's right coming naturally more and more as you grow up? This growing experience in the Lord, what do we call that? Sanctification. Is that right? In 1 John 5:3, we read, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." You know, I was had a burden with my grandniece the other day, and she's not keeping the Sabbath. She's really not following the Lord. I told her, "You know, I really love you, but I know someone who loves you a lot more than I do. That's Jesus. And He's just waiting for you to love Him back." You know, love is a two-way street, isn't it? Are we loving Him back? And Jesus says, if you love me back, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It'll be the most natural thing for you to do. So, you know, I grew up thinking Jesus said it this way, if you love me, keep my commandments. No. He emphasized, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you put "if you love me" in front of each of the 10 commandments, you will find that these commandments are no longer a set of rules, but they have become a set of promises. Isn't that something? It's wonderful. Philippians 2:12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." In other words, you become a supernatural Christian because God is at work in you to work out His will. John 14:15 and 16, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I promise. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever." So every command becomes a promise. Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." Here's almost like another repeat of Ezekiel 36. I will. When God says I will, what is it? It's a promise, right? "I will put my laws into your mind and write them in your hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And so, you know what we're really talking about today? We're talking about being born again. You know, when we are born physically, do we have anything to do with it? Huh? No. When you're born spiritually, do you have anything to do with it? Not really. Because God says, just give me a chance, and I'll bring you to new birth. I'll bring you to a spiritual birth. Quotation from Bible Commentary, Volume 4, page 1164. "The youth especially stumble over the phrase, a new heart. They do not know what it means. They pray often and long and are constantly referring to the feelings they had at such and such a time, but they do not live the new life. They are deceived. Their experience goes no deeper than what? Than their feelings. They build upon the sand, and when adverse winds come, their house is swept away." But when Jesus speaks of the new heart, He means the mind, the life, the whole being. To have a change of heart is to withdraw the affections from the world and fasten them upon Christ. To have a new heart is to have a new mind.
new purposes, new motives. What is a sign of a new heart? It's a changed life. There is a daily, hourly dying to selfishness and pride. Sometimes every minute requires that dying to self. In Romans 6, 11 to 13, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So how many of you are dead to sin? Huh? Well, we need to be dead not in sin. There's a difference. We need to be dead to sin. How do you know if you're dead to sin? When temptation comes along on the TV screen or on your iPhone or in Walmart or you name it, maybe at the coffee shop, you need to pronounce yourself dead. How do you do that? I pronounce myself dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And what kind of profession declares a person dead, pronounces them dead? What is that? Huh? The coroner. He's kind of a doctor, isn't he? The coroner. So the Bible is telling us to be your own coroner. That's something you can say to yourself. I am dead to that. I'm dead to pornography. I'm dead to this sweet thing that I want to eat, or to this sweet face that I want to flirt with. You know, we have to just bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:5, we read, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I've added a few words to that thought. It's bring every, not only thought, but feelings and motives and appetite, to bring them all captive to the obedience of Christ. Then Jesus is really the king of your life. And you are surrendered to him at the foot of, at his feet. So the seven promises in our text. A new heart, also, I will give you. A new spirit, I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do this. Those are all promises. And God is wanting to just transform your life so that we become more like Jesus. You know, that's what Jesus is waiting to see in his people, as a perfect reflection of himself in his people. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to receive him and be the Lord of our lives, of our thoughts. And so, let's pray this prayer and apply it in our lives. Can we pray this together? Can you read it? Let's stand to our feet and let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord, give me a new heart and a new spirit. Take out of me my heart of stone and give me a soft, obedient heart of flesh. Put your Holy Spirit in me so that I may walk in your statutes and put into practice your judgment. Amen. Dear Lord, we have surrendered our lives to you today. I pray that you will bless each one that has heard the message. And I pray that you will bring all of us into complete conformity to your will, to your character. We invite you to reign over us and give us the victories that we desperately need so that we can be ready for your coming. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.